I'm going to introduce our guest speakers and let them share what they have to offer. So I have the distinct pleasure of working with both of these ladies at Trigg County Public Schools. Tina Perry was the director of special education for a number of years. I don't even remember how many. Was it only three? Felt like longer than that. And then she went to another district and has ended up at the West Kentucky Educational Cooperative. And from there, she's been working with adult education. And then Chrissy Bush also was a special education teacher at Trigg County Schools for a long time and then has gone to work at the co-op in the adult ed world as well. And having had the opportunity myself as a first-year teacher to teach adult education, it is a really rewarding field. It's an opportunity to really make a difference in people's lives. And I think what I see from what they've shared with me, it has grown tremendously, the opportunities and what they can provide for individuals at various levels of education. So with nothing else, I'll let you all come up.
We're really excited to be here today to kind of share with you some of the services that we provide through adult education. Probably many of you, when you think about adult education, most of you are going to say, oh, that's where people go to get their GED, right? That's what most of us think about when they talk about adult education. But we've really grown our program, and we've really started to branch out more into workforce education. So we're going to share a little bit about that. I'm Tina Perry and Chrissy Bush. And our mission statement is to work with Kentuckians to improve their quality of life through education, training, and employment so that they can take care of themselves and their families and help their communities and the state's economies to expand and thrive. And that's really what adult education encompasses. Now, when I first started 3 years ago as the director of the adult education program under WKEC, we had 10 counties. We have recently had our grant year, and we were granted 5 additional counties, and one of those being Trigg County. So Chrissy and I were really excited, since we both have history here at Trigg County. We were excited to be able to come and bring some of the work that we have been doing to your community. So we have full-time, well, they're kind of full and part-time centers at Fulton, Graves, Callaway, Marshall, Trigg, and Caldwell. We kind of split. We have a new instructor. His name is Jason Asher, and he's going to be 3 days a week at Caldwell and 2 days a week here at Trigg County. And we're still going to be over at The Way, which is where the adult ed program has been before. We also serve Union, Webster, and Henderson. And then we have what are called connection or access points. And these counties are smaller. We haven't had as much success in those counties right now. Our numbers have been low. So we schedule appointments at like our extension offices or libraries. We meet people in these communities to be able to provide some of the services that we offer. So like I said, most of us know with adult education, we provide GED services. And what that means is that we help provide instruction. We provide a lot of one-on-one instruction. In our rural communities, it's really hard for us to provide what we would typically call classes, because everybody's, when you're working with adults, they have all types of schedules. They have work schedules, they have children's schedules to follow, they're caring for their parents. So a lot of times we have to work around everybody's schedule. And so a lot of times it becomes more of a one-on-one tutoring type of instruction to help people prepare and get ready for their GED. And I'll be honest, I think that's really a better way to do it, just because for a lot of reasons, some people, when they dropped out of school or had to leave school for whatever reason, some of them really struggled with school. A lot of them, a typical school setting just wasn't productive for them. They weren't successful in that type of setting, whether they had anxiety or maybe they just really struggled in math. Maybe, you know, they had some bullying issues, different reasons. But when we work with our students one-on-one, they feel much more secure. We're able to help build up some of that self-esteem and give them some confidence in their abilities to finish. We also, right now, and I'll We've got a slide that talks about it a little bit. We're looking at adding on a new GED online program through WKEC. This will allow people to be able to work from home on work and be able to Zoom with an instructor so they have a contact that can help keep them on track, but work through some different curriculum online. We still do paper packets too. Some people aren't really tech savvy, but we do try to teach them enough that if they want to do it from home, we try to help them to do that as well. So that's something new that we're expanding on, because we know sometimes people can't get to the classroom, especially if they have little children or they have full-time jobs. Maybe they work a swing shift and their schedule changes a lot. So that's something that we're really starting to try to promote and get started. We also provide some workforce education, and we're going to talk about that in more depth in a minute. We do college prep. So if somebody's been out of school for a little bit and they're wanting to go back to college, they can come to us. We have a college and career navigator, and her name is Melissa Willoughby. She's wonderful. She works with our students to help work through things like the FAFSA, help them get signed up for college, look for scholarships, funding to help go back to college. And we also do some preparation courses. So we can work with them on our WIN program to maybe brush up on college math. If it's been a while and they haven't done math for a bit, they need to brush up a little bit before they get back in the classes. So that's some offerings that we have. We also work with a lot of our libraries and our school districts to provide family literacy. We provide literacy events, help adults and our parents learn more about ways that they can interact with their children when they're at home to help with education. And then we also offer English language services. We help people to learn how to speak English, but we also help with citizenship. So if people are looking toward taking the citizenship test, we help them prepare for that. And we also provide work in our corrections. We serve now, I think it's 9 jails, if I'm correct, but we provide GED classes and some workforce education in the jails as well. So when we talk about the workforce, this is really where WKEC has tried to expand adult education and to offer more programming. So the IET, this is an integrated education training. And basically what this is, it's a program model that helps adult learners build academic skills while preparing for a specific career. The end result in this is usually some type of certification. The adult ed piece is we help provide literacy, math, English language, and GED support while they're also working on different communication, critical thinking skills, and work readiness. And then there's some type of industry-specific criteria that they're working toward. And we're going to talk about a few of those in a minute. But I wanted to kind of give you an idea about the difference in this integrated education training and what a workplace literacy program is. Because the IET really focuses on helping somebody get that certificate so they can get a job, where the workplace literacy program is for businesses, companies, industries that already have employees, but they're struggling with them having the skills they need to do the job, okay? So we can go into a business if, for example, the schools, okay? One of the WPLs that we have is a paraeducator WPL. So our instructional assistants at the schools, sometimes they need some help learning how to perform their job better. And so we've partnered with a lot of our schools in the area to go in and provide some skills for them so that they will be able to have a better knowledge base on working with children, especially with special needs. But we can modify that to fit whatever needs that business, company, or program may have in building those skills. So it doesn't have to be like one specific type of program. We can work with you as an employer to develop a training program. And the best part of it is our services are all free. It doesn't cost anything. So, for example, we talked about IETs and WPLs. Well, our paraeducator IET, this is for somebody who's wanting to be a teacher's assistant, okay, in the schools, but they don't have enough college hours or they don't have the paraeducator certification. So we help them get ready to take that test. They have to pass a test to be able to take that and get their certificate. So we help them prepare for that. They take the test. They have their credential. Now they can get the job, right? Well, then we have what's called the workplace literacy paraeducator. And this is where the schools have come to us and said, you know what? We're having more and more kids that have behavior issues in the schools. We have more and more kids who are struggling academically. And our paraeducators are great. They come in and they're ready to work, but they really don't know how to work with kids with autism or maybe having to work with kids that have ADHD. So they need some skills. They need to kind of know, how do I go about helping that child? So we go into the schools and we provide these trainings. This saves the district's money because all of our services are free. But also it takes it off their plate. That's one less thing they have to worry about developing and planning. We work with WKEC's CERTAC team. That's a Special Education Regional Technical Center. And we make sure that they have up-to-date trainings for their paraeducators in the schools. And we've recently just updated this, and I say we, I really mean Chrissy Bush. But Chrissy Bush has also expanded our paraeducator WPL now to include just support staff, school support staff. We're going to be doing trainings with bus drivers, cafeteria workers, substitute teachers, to get them ready to come in on those first days of school and really have some good skills and some strategies that they can use when they're working with our kiddos. But there's also some other areas that we've kind of dabbled in. One of those is we created a program with Murray State University, and that's our cybersecurity IET. This is a certification program through Murray State. It's a one-year program. Right now, it's a three-year grant that they're working on. People can apply for the grant. If they do, it pays for their year of classes. It's a one-year program. It pays for them to take the test. They get a laptop. And they can do, is it all of their classes can be done online.
Yes.
And so we help support that because these are a lot of people that are coming back into school. Maybe they're really tech savvy. I think about a lot of kids I used to work with in special education. They all wanted to be gamers, right? Now that's the new thing. They want to be gamers. But this is more of a realistic goal for some of our students coming out of high school who maybe they're not quite ready for a bachelor's degree, but this is a certification program that could get them a really good paying job 1 year out after finishing this certification. They get a paid internship at the end of this, and they also, most of the companies that hire them will go ahead and pay for them to go ahead and get their bachelor's and their master's degree because this is such a high need area right now with cybersecurity. So if you know people who are really tech savvy and they're really into that, this is a really good way to get started. Also, we have a CDA program, IET. This is with Chapel Hill Head Start in Crittenden County. They saw our paraeducator IET and said, hey, some of the people that we've hired, they have to get their CDA within a year to be able to keep their job. And they said, is there some way that you can maybe help? Because some of them struggle. It's a lot to keep up with. They have courses they have to finish. They have to put a portfolio together. And it's a lot for them to take on their own and to keep a track of it and really support them. We created this Child Development Associate IET. So we go into Chapel Hill Head Start. And we work with their employees who are working on their CDA. And the best part about it is all of our services are free. Just recently this year, there was a grant awarded to the Fulton County Detention Center. It is called FACE. It is the Fulton Academy for Construction Education. And so we have started that. We provide the construction math portion of the test. We help prepare them for that. That is a great IET. We need people to do construction. We need people to have those skills. So this is a great way to help people develop some skills when they have been incarcerated and they're getting ready to be released so that they have good paying jobs when they get out. Because we know that if they have their GED and if they have a good paying job when they are released, the likelihood of the recidivism is much lower. So that's, you know, really what we try to do when we are working in the jails. Also, we have an ASVAB IET. So when someone is wanting to take the ASVAB, but they're wanting to get that score up, we're here to help them. We're here to support them, make sure they have the skills they need to do well, and to try to increase that score.
And for people that don't know, the ASVAB it's okay.
This is for the military. If you're going into the military, this is the test that they make you take, basically. So that entrance exam there.
Which really guides what kind of career path you take.
Yes.
In the
so the higher the score you get, the better, higher quality jobs and things like that that you'll be able to get when you come out. And then we have some newbies coming that are on the forefront. This is our ServSafe IET. This is safe food handling, temperature, time control, regulatory. But this is for people that work with food. This is for people that work in the food industry. We are getting ready to get this going. If we do get it, our kickoff, we're hoping our grant's going to support us to be able to pay for the actual exam so people wouldn't have to do this. So we can we're going to be partnering with some of the jails, but we can partner with places like hospitals, nursing homes, different places like that to help them get this certification and even the school system as well. So we're excited about getting the ServSafe up and going. And then we also have what's called our new entrepreneurship IT. And this one's really exciting because this is a course that people can take if they are interested in opening their own business. We're going to be talking with some of area banks too, because this certification would help them probably with getting a small business loan, things like that. The certification is $50, but it really helps them with understanding financing a small business, what goes into that, how to stay lucrative, how to make sure you've got what you need in place for your business to be successful. So this is a new IET that's going to be coming out. We also have a couple of workplace literacy programs. And again, this is where we go into the business and help them with some training. Our Empower WPL focuses on the WIN Essentials course. They can get the essential skills, the Kentucky Essential Skills certification through this, and they also have digital literacy skills. We right now are running this through a rehab center over in Fulton called Changes, and it's been very successful. And it helps them build a resume so that when they get out of the rehab center, they have a resume and they have some credentials to go with that. And then we also have what's called the Resilience, which is very similar to this, but we're waiting on the DOC to approve it for us to use in the jails. But it, again, focuses on those essential skills. How to communicate using the telephone, you know, how to talk to people when you're on the phone, making sure people show up on time. Just some of those soft skills that I feel like recently in the workforce, kind of what we thought everybody just kind of knew, some people don't know, and they need to be taught how to do that. So that's really what these programs kind of target. And then this is kind of advertising our new GED online, which we are hoping to get up and going in the next couple of months. But we know it's very hard for people with families and work to be able to work toward a GED. But we're trying to take some of those barriers away. We know transportation can be an issue. We know daycare can be an issue. So we've tried to take those away by being able to offer more online type of options for our students. And this is my contact information. I have some cards. We have some flyers, too, if you would like to grab a flyer to take with you. This is our website. We are on Facebook. And I think we'll end by just kind of showing you, I don't know if you've heard about the Our Story Reimagined campaign, My Story Reimagined campaign for adult education. But I thought we might show one of these. Chrissy, how do I?
I didn't test out the speakers. So we'll see if that's going to work.
Oh, and this link may not work. Oh, well, that's okay.
If you don't have it, though, do you need internet to make it work?
Let me see. I think I'm connected.
Question.
Yes.
With the Department of Education potentially going down the tubes at the federal level, what percentage of your stuff is federal grants versus state grants, and everything's free but somebody's paying somewhere? Do you anticipate, and then with the new Medicaid requirements and 200,000 people in Kentucky losing their Medicaid and there being work requirements, how does that impact what y'all do?
Well, it does impact us. One of the things I was going to say at the end of our discussion is that contact your congressman and your all of your local people. Adult ed is on the chopping block. It really is. And our funds were cut quite a bit this year. Our plan coming in here before the budget cuts hit, we wanted a full-time center here at Cook County. That's what we had in our grant. As far as the federal and state, I'd have to look at, we haven't received our final budget for this year, so I don't know how they divvied that up this year. It is both federal and state funded. Kentucky's, from what I understand, we are a little bit lucky in that Kentucky runs a year behind, so we have the funds for this year, where some adult ed programs have had to shut down in other states completely. So right now we're running as usual this year, but we are, adult ed is one of those programs that is on
Did they, when they passed this newest bill where they were clawing back monies from different, was y'all, any of y'all's money clawed back?
We did, our funding was cut. Yeah, it was cut. Not that where we can't provide services, but we didn't get the amounts that we have been receiving in previous years.
What about the new mandate for the Medicaid mandate on job? Hunting jobs and job requirements. Do y'all have any clue?
No, they haven't. They really have not released a whole lot of information to us. It's a lot of it's still up in the air.
It's applied that more people would need your services.
Yes, and we really fall under WIOA. We're under the workforce more than we are the Department of Education. The one thing I have heard is because of the Department of Education kind of being cut down or done away with, they're kind of merging a couple, and so our workforce education, I think they're going to be kind of lumped into one. That's kind of what they've been talking about.
Is the state prepared to take that on?
I don't know. I'm one of the small programs, and so we're probably the last to know on most of that. But there is a lot of, if you see on Facebook, you can, we'll probably have it on our website soon, but we'll have up there where you can go and contact and your senators and state representatives about the importance of adult education. Because we do, Andy Beshear has made sure that we can continue offering the free GED tests. Most states, we are one of the very few states that that provide the free testing, which is great because a lot of people would not be able to afford to take the tests. So right now we have vouchers that the state has purchased so that we can offer the testing for free for people to get their GEDs.
What would a GED test cost?
Was it around between, probably close to $50 now, I think, between $30 and $50. And there's four tests for the GED. So, you know, that's going to add up for people.
And then there's also retakes with that?
Yeah, if they don't pass it, then you have to take a retake, and so it can get expensive. Yes, sir.
I heard something on the news yesterday that the governor made the announcement that there's going to become a traveling GED testing process.
Basically, it's a mobile unit that goes around the state to offer the GED testing. So, used to be to take your GED, you had to go to like a community college or someplace that offered testing services. Well, they have really pulled back on that. And so now, a lot of them, they only offer one day a month that you could go and take your GED test. Well, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't take that test right when you're ready, I mean, it's really hard to stay on top of it, especially math. So now there's an online proctoring option that you can do, and that's what we use in our centers. So people can actually take the test in our center. We have a testing room. They go in there. They have a laptop. They have to, an online proctor comes on, and they... But I'm just going to tell you, we're in rural Kentucky. Sometimes that internet doesn't work so great.
We know all about it.
Yeah. So, you know, so that has become an issue. When it works, it's great. When it doesn't, it's not. And so they do, the state has put together a mobile unit. They started with it at the very end of last year just to do some testing with it. And they've run into some issues, of course. But yes, they are hoping to start coming out to West Kentucky with that mobile unit. Some problems I see with that, because it's a great idea in theory, but you have to have, I think, 5 people that need to test. And so getting 5 people scheduled to be able to take the test at the same time, again, when you're talking about adults who have work schedules, daycare schedules, children in school, things like that, it's very hard to plan. To me, the online proctoring is their best option. But then again, online proctoring, they have to use the calculator that's on the computer screen. They can't have scratch paper because, heaven forbid, somebody cheat on the GED. I don't know how they think somebody would do that. But anyway, you know how that testing stuff is. They're very strict on that. And so for some people, they really need a real calculator and a piece of paper, and they feel more comfortable with that. So having the actual mobile unit or going to a testing site that is certified is better for those individuals. But there is a mobile unit that's going to start coming around.
Tina, does the digital literacy content yet cover generative AI?
I don't think WIN does that. I'm sure they are probably looking into that, but it does not. The WIN program is the one that we use the most. There has been some trainings on AI that is starting to come out in adult education, but that really hasn't. It's just been like what everybody else has. It's like up to
see. It would be a real kind of portal into continuing adult education, because I'm finding... You know, like elderly family members, for example, who struggle with Windows and computers in general, are finding fresh air in generative AI because it's just natural language.
Yes.
And so it's maybe the first computer technology that doesn't require any training.
Right.
And it turns it inside out to where, you know, you can ask it anything, and before you know it, you've got a personal educator.
Yeah.
So, seems to me that if you can get people who have an education deficit, if you can get them a relationship with generative AI, it's like teaching a child to read.
Yeah.
It just opens up the world.
How many people in Trigg County get GEDs on an annual basis, or kind of what's your caseload look like here?
Well, this is our first year in Trigg, so we've only been here less than a month. But when I talked with the state department, Hopkinsville Community College used to have Trigg County under their umbrella. So
So I'm not as familiar with their numbers because we just recently was awarded TRIG. I do know that looking at their data that they sent me last month, I believe they had 3 GEDs this year. Our goal...
In 2025 or 2024?
It's the fiscal year of 25, so...
Okay. So far this year?
Well, last year.
Last year.
Yeah,
so
our year starts to rolling.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So okay. It's... for this year, the goal is 13. So... the services aren't being utilized. Based on the numbers that come from census numbers, said that we should be able to get 13 GEDs in Trigg County. But we also know that there's a lot of factors that play into getting people to be able to come and do that again when you look at schedules. Because the funding's not there for us to be there 5 days a week. You know, that offering's not as widespread. And
desire has changed too. There's not a lot of value in the GED for some people because it's not required by many employers, so they don't see it as beneficial.
Especially since COVID, a lot of employers that used to require a GED now do not. But I do feel like one of the reasons why some of these essential skills are so important is because when people would come in, because a lot of these jobs used to have your GED, that you don't have to have that now. But when people come in to get their GED, we're teaching those soft skills. We're teaching them to show up on time for their appointments. We're talking with them about how to dress and how to, you know, talk when they're in the workplace. So there's a lot of soft skills that we teach while we're actually teaching people to pass the GED exam.
These requirements can change. I mean, employers relax so much just because they were desperate.
Yes, people, absolutely.
The employment market has changed already.
Yeah.
I mean, they're... It's changed already, and you could expect the employers to return to stricter requirements.
Is the your other IET programs, is there a requirement for a GED for some of those? That it would be like kind of a way to market? The cybersecurity. Do you have to have your GED for that, I would think?
Yes, you have to have a high school diploma or a GED.
And you all can assist with that, so it could be your GED is the building block.
Yes, and that is part of the IET, is that GED.
And how could you have, like, a testing center here? Like, or, you know, like they do with the ACT, you know, for high school students. There's always a day or two each year that...
Yeah.
Like, is that something that you could do?
That's one of the... We can't do it. The state says that because we teach the GED, we cannot be proctors of a testing center. So that's why it has to be an outside entity that does that.
So, like, I'm just throwing this out there, not volunteering this, but, like, an organization like Rotary could be a proctor, like, a proctor, or... Like, how does that?
You have to, there's certain stipulations to be a proctoring site, and the proctors have to go through an assessment to be able to proctor it. I've been hopeful that maybe even some of our libraries might take on some of that, but I think there's a lot that goes into it. It's not that easy, and you have to... Your facilities have to be a certain, meet certain requirements, and that.
It seems like it's a lot easier for an incarcerated person to earn a GED than someone who's not.
Mm-hmm. If you have two questions over here.
Yes.
Do you use volunteers for any of these programs?
We don't have volunteers.
Like retired teachers.
Yeah. I do employ several retired teachers. I do that because they've been a very big support to our program. To be an instructor for adult education, you have to have a bachelor's degree. But then you also have to pass the reading and math TABE, which is the test of adult basic education, at a certain level to be able to teach.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of addressing the volunteer piece, you know, we talk a lot about GED, but you get folks that come in that truly are starting at a very poor skill level.
Yes.
So do you use some, I remember we used to have volunteers that would work mm-hmm. with individuals that were really yeah. learning to read.
Yes.
And some of that type of thing. Yeah. So you all have those types of programs, or is that as prevalent?
We do have just the basic education instruction. So if somebody comes in, most of them are wanting to get their GED, but they may not be at a level that they're ready to work for their GED yet. They are learning to read, that type of thing. And we do work with them. We have curriculum that we use to help with them. We don't usually have volunteers just because, again, everybody's schedule, it's so hard to schedule that type of thing. When you're working with some people one-on-one, we have lots of no-shows, as you probably imagine. You know, people have things in life that come up, and so sometimes they don't show up. And
just a couple of things. I mean, first of all, kudos. I mean, I had no idea those number of services were available, and I think it's awesome for our adults to have those opportunities. We do own radio stations that cover all the counties that you put on the map early, so know that you have an open microphone when you need it.
Okay.
The second piece of that is, you may or may not know, the Cadiz Rotary Club has a grant division, as well as our scholarship division. And our grants cover up to age 25, which is great,
uh-huh.
And probably a lot of your students are mm-hmm. in that bracket. And it can be for any continuing education. So up to $600 a semester for 8 semesters, so $4,800 that could be used if they need something for certification, as long as it is a certified program.
Right.
We're pretty lenient on that. I mean, we look for ways to help, not for ways not to help. It's
yeah.
a nice thing about not being government. We don't have to follow the same rules and guidelines as somebody who might have
right.
to follow.
Yeah.
So if you have some people from Tree County that are questionable in any way, I mean, if there's something that funding will help, you know, be sure to reach out to us, because that grant program is really expanding way beyond just the student that wants to go to diesel mechanic school. I mean, it also could cover the one that needed the one-year certification on cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And so we're looking for ways to do better
yeah.
With that funding. So
right.
it's there if you need
okay.
some.
Thank you.
Who ordered your office to take on Trigg County? Was it a state mandate or a federal mandate?
Every 3 years, we have to write a grant.
Right.
And so during the grant process, they award the counties to those who apply for the grants.
So the state level.
Yeah.
So the state awarded you Trigg County, and
mm-hmm.
the federal government cut $715 million for adult funding nationwide.
I don't have that number in front of me.
No,
I'm sure you got
it. I'm trying to figure out, the state had one message
yeah.
and the federal government had another message.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Okay.
I just didn't know if that was a federal order or if that was a state order.
No.
So
every 3 years, that cycle, all of the counties are up for bid, and everybody writes, those physical agents write for the counties that they are interested in their areas. And that's.
If you had a site, if you had a site for an adult ed office, just like Calway does, out
yes.
on 641, where would you have it in Trigg County, theoretically? Would it be a new site, or would it be an existing building?
If we were to have a full-time site, we would need a new site. Right now, we're at The Way, and they've been wonderful. I've heard in the past, I mean, they've been a great partner for adult ed. They're allowing us, now that we've taken the Trigg County as one of ours, they've allowed us to stay there. So they've been a wonderful partner. To have a full center, though, you need a lot of space, because, you know, we do like to set up computer labs and things like that to help people be able to come and work toward these programs.
We are grant-based, so we don't have a lot of money to pay
no.
for a center.
No.
I understand.
Yeah. And like I said, we were in the hopes. We came, and Ms. Sumner helped us. We were looking around because we had hoped, if we were going to get our full grant, that we were going to try to find some place to rent and have a full-time center here at Trigg, but it just didn't work out that way.
Maybe a last question. If there are folks that want to reach out to you about even having you speak to their groups, their organizations, or how that you could provide a program in somewhere else, whether it's a church or whatever, you're more than willing to do that.
Absolutely. Call us. And like I said, a lot of times, some of our workplace literacy and IET programs have come out of just a conversation. That they were like, hey, we're having trouble, our employees really struggle with digital literacy. Like, would there be something you could come in and provide some free training to our staff? And so that's a lot of that comes has stemmed from just conversations of meeting different people.
Well, last week, yeah, he was borrowing money to get out of the Rotary.
Thank you all for having us. We really appreciate letting us come and share.